Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Here we go. Hour number three of the Rob Brown Show is underway. Let's get it. What's happening upstate South Carolina? It is great to be with you. How do you do? My name is Rob Brown on a football review Monday. We're breaking down all the games that took place this weekend. We got into Syracuse and Clemson. We got into LSU, South Carolina. We got into Carolina on the road down in New Orleans at Atlanta. We take a spin around the rest of the football world today as well. Of course, your thoughts are wanted and appreciated. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. That's the number to call in and be on the air with us. You can text us at 71307, 71307. Start your text at ESPN so it filters through to Diesel and I. And, of course, email me, Rob Brown at ESPNUpstate.com, Rob Brown at ESPNUpstate.com. You can also shoot us a tweet at The Rob Brown Show, at Diesel on Radio, or you can tweet all of us at the station at ESPNUpstate. That is all on the docket for you. I want to remind you to check out our website, ESPNUpstate.com, ESPNUpstate.com. Every day we put the latest info that will impact you as an upstate football fan, sports fan, on our website at ESPNUpstate.com. On top of that, you can also see the latest news, and you can listen to the show from the website as well. You can go to radio.com/ESPNUpstate/listen, push the old purple play button, and you can listen to the station 24/7, 365, around the clock. You can also use our Radio Rewind feature. Use the Radio Rewind feature, and you can listen to our live local programming up to 24 hours after it airs. That's right. If you miss a moment of the Rob Brown Show with Robin Diesel, if you missed a moment of Offsides with Mark Ryan and Lonzo, don't you worry about it. Take it on over to radio.com/ESPNUpstate/listen and listen to the Radio Rewind feature to hear what we had to say the day before. And, of course, remember on our website at ESPNUpstate.com, we also have the podcast section. Every hour of the shows are broadcast on the podcast on our website. So you can go there, download those podcasts, put them right on your phone, laptop, PC, or gaming console. Heck, gaming console, why not? Let's have a little fun with it. Go to ESPNUpstate.com, listen to the podcast there, and make sure you stay up to date with everything happening in the upstate moving forward. All right, 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776 is the number. We haven't gotten a chance let me do this instead. I'm gonna bring you the World Series update coming up in a minute, but I wanted to, because one of the things that I've loved to do, and it sparked a lot of good conversation, is to talk to you guys a little bit about my experience here in the great state of South Carolina. Those of you who know me or have listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I had some familiarity with the state in the past. A number of years ago, I was a couple of days away from moving to Charleston before I got another job down in Florida that required me to stay there for. So I've been to the Palmetto State many times, but I had really never made it all the way up. I never made it all the way up to the upstate, right? I've been to Asheville. My mom lived in Asheville, North Carolina, a couple of years. She came down to Greenville many, many times when she lived up in Asheville. But I had never made it down this far. So by the time that I got up here for the first time, I was obviously impressed by the upstate. But one of the things that I was most excited about was that I had all the rest of South Carolina available to me from right here in the upstate, including the Lowcountry, including Charleston and the coast. So this weekend, I got the opportunity to head down to Charleston for a couple of days. Had a friend getting married and headed over to Charleston to spend some time and had a blast over there. But it wasn't just the wedding. I made a whole weekend out of the deal. First and foremost, one of my favorite parts about heading over there is the drive. I love the drive from the northwest corner of South Carolina all the way over to the East Coast. And it's because you really get a glimpse of the entire state. You start in the upstate here in Greenville, Spartanburg, and you drive through and you kind of see the rolling foothills and the vegetation's different. Then you drive through the Midlands of the upstate, and you finally find yourself on in the low country where you've got those big saltwater marshes and the big open flat fields. You got all the palmetto trees growing up off the side of the road. I mean, it's just a beautiful drive. Got there, and then on Saturday decided to play tourist for a little while. So I told you guys earlier in the show about my trip to the USS Yorktown at Patriot Point there in Charleston, which was an incredible experience. For the first hour of the day, it was still nice and crisp and cool out. And I had this entire World War II carrier basically to myself. In fact, for about the first 30 minutes of the day, I was the only person on the ship. It was like me and the guy at the edge of the pier who was taking tickets aboard. And that was really it. So I got to do a real quick walk around of the bottom of the ship with nobody else down there, almost eerie. And then I got to go up to the bridge, the flight deck, and up into the bridge of the ship. And there was just something special about it, man. There was just something special about living that moment to stand on the bridge of this World War II era aircraft carrier, to think about the men who served on that boat, to think about standing in the same spot that the captain would have stood at in the midst of a World War II battle, calling out commands as they are under attack from Japanese Zeros and bombers, understanding that every decision, every command that he issued had the weight of the thousands of men who served on that ship, had their lives hanging in the balance based on the decisions that he made, to kind of be able to imagine the sights and sounds of that battle and those American patriots and heroes who stood on the deck of that ship, launching planes, flying planes, making sure that ship had the power, making sure that the day-to-day operations of that ship, never knowing when the next battle was going to break out. It was just a very cool moment. And I'm a huge history nerd. I've told you guys this before. One of the things I love about the upstate, one of the things I love about South Carolina and being one of the opening colonies is being able to walk through the history of the country in South Carolina, specifically over on the East Coast, being able to go see places where decisions about the Revolutionary War took place, being able to see where decisions and fights and skirmishes and battles in the Civil War took place and kind of live those moments out is big to me. So I got the moment to take a boat ride out to Fort Sumter, of course, the place where the opening salvos of the Civil War were fired. I got the chance to travel out to Fort Sumter and kind of live that experience, and it was absolutely unbelievable. That boat ride out to Charleston Harbor, through Charleston Harbor, was beautiful. The first arrival at Fort Sumter, getting to get off the boat at that pier and walk up to the opening gates of Fort Sumter and think about the thousands of men who walked through, both Union and Confederate, and enslaved people. There was one point in the speech that the park ranger gave that kind of blew my mind. First off, she pointed out, and this was so profoundly powerful to me. She's pointing out how Fort Sumter was initially constructed, and Fort Sumter doesn't look anything today like it would have looked during the Civil War. I mean, the initial walls, for the most part, still stand, but they were three levels high during construction up to the Civil War. But because of the siege of Fort Sumter that lasted years and the constant bombardment of Fort Sumter, the walls were knocked down from three levels down to one, and you can still peer over the edge of the island, which, by the way, a man-made island. I didn't know that either. That island that Fort Sumter stands on was made by shipping in thousands and thousands of these huge granite blocks from New England and then having enslaved people place these granite blocks on the sandbar standing there at the mouth of the Charleston Harbor. And then she showed us the brick that they was made out of. And obviously the brick was made naturally. It would take the mud, form it into a brick, throw it into an oven, heat it up to firm it up. And she pointed out to me a couple of places where you could actually see fingerprints in the bricks. And she pointed out that there were enslaved people there that had to make these bricks. And when they would pick up the wet mud to put them to form it into a brick and then to put it into the oven, they left fingerprints on these bricks that you can still go to Fort Sumter and see today. And she said at the end of her speech, which I just found incredibly profound. I made it a point to go out of my way to tell her how profound it was to me. She said as she kind of got done describing the layout of the fort and the history of the fort, she said, "Now I want you to turn around and I want you to look, because they fly the current American flag over Fort Sumter." She said, "I want you to look at that flag and I want you to think about all the flags that have flown over this fort. I want you to think about the flag of the original colonies that would have flown over this fort. Well, I guess the original states that would have flown over this fort leading up to the Civil War. And then I want you to think about that flag being taken down and having the Confederate flag flown over that. I want you to think about the flag of South Carolina and all that she's represented over the years." She said, "And I want you to think of that not just as an American and not just as we stand here today, but in the context of history." She said, "I want you to think about how you would have felt to be a Union soldier sailing away from Fort Sumter after it had been handed over to the Confederates and watching the flag under which you served be taken down and the flag of the Confederate States of the Americas being lifted up over that, and what it would have meant to you to have to give that fort to what is at this point a different country aimed to defeat yours in warfare. I want you to think about what it have been like during the construction of Fort Sumter as an American to see this fort and all its glory go up to defend you and your freedom and your life in Charleston, and to see that flag that represents you and your life in Charleston be raised up over this flag, over this fort that was built to defend you from all threats, foreign and domestic. Then I want you to think, if you were an enslaved person who was put in charge of building this fort, what it would have been like to put years of your life into firing up the bricks and constructing this fort that then raised a flag that was dedicated to the life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and freedom of all it flew over, except for you, the one who actually built the fort. It was not to defend your freedom. It was built to keep it away from you." Think about that. And take a trip over to Fort Sumter and go experience that, because it was just an incredible moment to see the fingerprints of these enslaved people who were forced to build this fort, a fort that was meant ultimately at its beginning to defend the right of those who kept them captive and kept them away from freedom. And just think about that when you look at those fingerprints. Take a trip over to Charleston if you have not done so yet and go experience that and tell me it doesn't change your perspective just a little bit, because it did mine. All right, 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. World Series breakdown is coming up next. We got to talk a little baseball. The Tampa Bay Rays stun the LA Dodgers in an improbable Game 4 dramatic finish, but then they turn around, and in Game 5, Clayton Kershaw has changed the narrative of his performances in the postseason. He set a record last night. We'll look at some baseball when we come back. My name is Rob Brown. This is the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's ESPN Upstate. Robin Diesel with you here on a Monday. Monday, got to get down on Monday. Thanks for spending your Monday afternoon with us. Game four of the World Series was Saturday night and was every bit as dramatic as you could possibly ask for. We've got the Dodgers up one. You got two outs. Runners on first and second for the Devil Rays, and they will always be the Devil Rays for me. Up to the plate comes Brett Phillips, a seldom used outfielder, a guy that's got some PT, but not a lot for the Rays in the postseason so far. Kenley Jansen is on the hill, and in the wildest finish to a World Series game I've seen in a long time, this happened.
Jansen, that is into center field. Here comes Kiermaier. Phillips has tied the game. Arroyo's Arena coming around. Throw home. Now he stumbles. But the ball gets away. Tampa Bay wins it. Brett Phillips, game four hero.
Unbelievable finish to that game. Phillips hits a little looper out to right center. Center fielder Chris Taylor is running up on the ball, has a play on it. At this point, a run is scored, and the Rays have tied the game. Taylor runs up on the ball. Randy Arozarena, who was on first, gets to third and never hits the gas or the brakes. Just stays gas the whole time. As he turns third, Taylor kicks the ball away from him. And at this point, looks like a Rosarena is going to score. Except for in rounding third at full gas, he trips. He trips and he stumbles. And he ends up eating turf halfway between third and home base. Well, at this point, Taylor's recovered the ball. He throws the ball to Max Muncy, the first baseman, for a cutoff. Muncy snags it and throws it laser beam style to Will Smith. And you're thinking, oh man, the Rays would have had the winning run on third base with two outs. But a Rosarena tripped, got caught, and they are going to end up going into extra innings now. Muncy throws the ball to Will Smith, who's behind the plate, ready for the tag. Smith turns his head to a Rosarena coming at him from third, and the ball bounces off his glove. Bounces off his glove, rolls about 10 yards away from the dish. Nobody else is covering it. And by the time that Will Smith has gotten to home or has gotten to the ball, a Rosarena has gotten up, recovered, runs, and slides headfirst into home, slamming his fist down on home plate and scoring the game-winning run. The 116th World Series provided a Game 4 that is now the signature game of this series. If the Rays, and remember, my call was Rays in 7, but they've got to win 6 and 7. Because the Dodgers last night played good baseball. The Dodgers last night, Clayton Kershaw has rewritten what has been said about him. In the postseason. He was stunning last night. A solid outing from Clayton Kershaw. And a little bit of offense sees the Dodgers win game five.
Serving others.
You know, at some point I'm going to stop doing that. Game five, 4-2 over the Rays. Now the Dodgers have a 3-2 series lead. They need one of the last two. The trend of no team winning consecutive games has stuck through game five of the 2020 World Series. The Dodgers have won 1-3-5. The Rays won 2-4. Will the Rays be able to get game six? Tony Gosselin will be on the hill for the Dodgers. That one is official. We will wait to see what the Rays are going to do. Hopefully they're going to go back to the top of their rotation. Glasnow last night for the Rays was so close. Gave up a couple of big home runs. Muncy had one that traveled about 10,000 yards out of the stadium. It was not a great outing for Glasnow, but he got through five innings. And that's what they were looking for, right? The Rays needed five innings. They could not go to the pen because they knew that game six was going to be a pen game. So they needed to save their arms to the best of their ability. They needed to save their arms. They needed to make sure that they would have a deep pen because they're probably going to have a lot of rotations through game six. And the fact that even though it wasn't a stunning performance from Glasnow, he was able to push into the fifth and almost the sixth inning, which saved up a lot of arms in the pen for the Rays. Meaning that by going to the pen in game six for a pen game, they were going to have a lot of depth to create a lot of matches coming out of the bullpen that would give them the best possible advantage. Glasnow is a guy that that had a lot of pressure on him last night as a young pitcher. And while he gave up some big spots, the fact that he was able to power as deep as he did was important. So now the Rays turn to the pen for game number six, knowing that the Dodgers offense has hit some stride, right? I told you guys coming into this that the reason I picked the Rays to win this series was I ultimately thought that the Rays were going to prevent the Dodgers from finding any momentum. They did that for the most part last night, but the Dodgers were able to come up with some big plays in some big spots. Couple of dingers that really ended up being the separation between them and the Rays. I mean, it's not for those two home runs. You're probably talking a 2-2 ball game late in the game, and we're looking at that ball game potentially ending up going into extra innings, which would have been big time. That would have been big time. If they would have been able to take the Dodgers into extra innings, get into their pen a little bit, you might have seen the Dodgers lose a little bit of depth. But those two home runs were the difference. The Rays got to clean that up, okay? The Rays have to clean that up. The Rays have got to get to a point where they are not allowing the Dodgers to come up with those big-time plays. If they can do that and just make the Dodgers play good, solid offensive baseball without the one or two sparks here and there, those big emotional sparks, then the Rays can win two to win this series. I think it's a long shot. I think it's going to be tough for them, but it's possible. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. We got one segment left, and then we hit Twitter trending topics. To wrap it up, quick break. We're back after this. I'm Rob. He's Diesel. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. You're listening to ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. Rob, Diesel, you. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for being a part of the show. So Cam Newton struggling just a little bit up there in New England. I think my man Lonzo is going to have to at this point acknowledge after Tom Brady goes lights out again to whoop up on the Vegas Raiders in their own stadium that maybe it wasn't Hoodie's system. Maybe Brady's just good. Cam Newton, on the other hand, struggling under Bill Belichick there up there in New England. And it led to one of my favorite things that happened over the weekend. You guys remember Jeff Garcia, quarterback, back like way back in the day? Diesel, Jeff Garcia had the most okay boomer moment that I have heard in a while. He was asked about Cam Newton because after the game, you know, Cam Newton likes to dress up a little bit, right? Cam throws on this weekend the three-piece suit, the white pants, the light gray jacket over a brown vest, a white tuxedo dress shirt, and a thick orange tie underneath it. And of course, he has the big wide-brim fedora to match the jacket. And, of course, what gentleman can wear the fedora without the matching pocket square to accessorize? So, Cam Newton rolls up out of Gillette Stadium after taking an L and getting benched in the third quarter to make room for Jarrett Stidham. And Jeff Garcia went full out old man yells at cloud about Cam's outfit. Here's what Jeff had to say.
Interceptions. You throw, what, three more interceptions? You get yanked in the second half? There's nothing good going your way. Why are you dressing like that to bring more attention to yourself? I'd be trying to ask the equipment managers, put me in your jock sock cart and sneak me in the back door, and I'll show up on the field and do the best that I can.
Jeff, this sounds like you're speaking from too much experience here, okay? This sounds you're speaking from experience.
This just goes back to a couple years of just watching this guy and seeing him at the podium, but yet what he's doing on the field does not translate to being that guy.
Like
and
Joe
I just
Montana.
Feel like...
I mean, Joe Namath.
Yeah.
The
fur coat. Yeah. When you predict you're going to win a Super Bowl and you go out and do it, wear whatever the hell you want. But, you know, right now, I'm not buying it, and neither is you going.
So there's what Jeff Garcia had to say. Said that until he starts winning, Cam Newton needs to chill out on the dressing thing.
You know, it's funny. Panthers fans have been saying this for years. And now finally somebody else sees it too. Finally someone else sees it. Panthers fans will be like, dude, you got no reason to show off. When you're losing, show up in sweats and a hoodie like you came to work. Don't show up in something where you're trying to be all flashy. Look, at the end of the day, I'm saying wear what you want to wear. But, like, read the room, dude.
You know, and I'll let you listeners, you can check in with me and come at me all you want. Maybe I'm just too much of a millennial here, right? Maybe I'm just too much of a millennial. But I don't care, right? Show up into your job. I if you want to bust up on
he's
Cam,
not.
Right? And
that's the problem. Is he's not.
If you want to bust up on Cam because he's not playing good enough football. Bust up on Cam for not playing good enough football, but I don't think him wearing a suit and a hat is it, right? Like, I don't know. I don't get down with the whole dress the way I want you to dress until you do good enough to dress. Like, get out. No, that's not a thing, man. You know, like there, if you now, if the Patriots said on game day, you will all show up in a navy blue suit and that's our dress code. And then that's one thing, but that's not the case, right? That's not the case at all. This guy has his style, whatever, but here's the thing. And it harkens back to me. If I asked you right now, right? If I asked you right now, and I'm not going to throw this at Diesel, but I've asked you right now to name me who is it that Cam Newton is throwing the ball to in a three interception day. Could any of you tell me a Patriots wide receiver right now? Diesel, could you? If I gave you $1 million to do it, could you name me a Patriots wide receiver right now?
No,
of course not. Of course not. If I ask you to name me their running back right now, could anybody outside of the handful of people who have him on their fantasy team name me New England's starting running? Can you name me, Diesel, one New England Patriot on offense that's not Cam Newton right now?
I'm guessing LeGarrette Blunt's not on the team anymore.
You are correct. LeGarrette Blunt is not on the team anymore.
I don't have anything for you.
No, you can't. Because here's what's happened. There's two big-time NFL realities that have clashed around Cam Newton right now. And it's caused Jeff Garcia to go full-on old man yells at cloud about it, right? The first is that for years, Tom Brady was so damn good that the Patriots were able to put a cast of nobodies and short little receivers around him, and he was able to carry them to Super Bowls, okay? That's item number one. Tom Brady was so damn good at his job that you were able to go get Danny Amendola and Julian Edelman and Wes Welker, and Tom Brady made them look like freaking Pro Bowlers, okay? The second thing here is that Cam Newton, for years, has been dealing with the fact that he has been in offenses in Carolina that did not utilize what and who he was to build a team around his game and the success that he has. It's been that way for years, right? Matt Rhule is coming in and doing more to build an offense around Teddy Bridgewater in one offseason than the Panthers did during Ron Rivera / Cam Newton's entire run together in Charlotte. That's just a fact. And so now you're in a spot where Cam Newton has to take over for an offense that has very little in the way of skill position talent, because Tom Brady was able to take a team with very little in skill possession talent to the Super Bowl every year. And people are expecting Tom Brady results for Cam Newton, and that's not how it works. It's not how it works. The number one overall receiver for Cam Newton right now, and I don't mean this as an insult to him, Julian Edelman, a guy who has been in the league for 12 years, is a 5'10", 195-pound white dude. That's his number one receiver. I'm sorry, but that is not a recipe for success. Now, you can make the argument that the number one wide receiver is N'Keal Harry. 6'4", 225, second-year man out of Arizona State. A good wide receiver, but he's a number two, maybe number three wide receiver on most teams. That's what you've given him to work with. Running the football right now, your number one is Damian Harris, followed by James White. Damian Harris is a 5'11", 213-pound second-year man at the starting spot. Where's the talent around Cam Newton that's supposed to make him successful? See, because here's the thing. Cam still got it. Cam could still be the guy. But you are asking him to take a JV roster and compete with college teams. That 49ers team, back now and healthy, is an NFC contender. and you're asking Cam Newton to throw the ball to Julian Edelman, N'Keal Harry, and Damir Bird, and run it with Damian Harris, and you're, oh, I can't believe Cam's not being successful. Of course he's not. You're giving him no tools to work with. The list of quarterbacks in the NFL right now who could take a JV squad and win NFL games is basically Breeze, Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, Wilson, Rodgers. That's it. That's the list. Cam is still a good quarterback. Oh, and by the way, all of those guys, all of them, without exception, have more talent around him than Cam Newton does. If I wanted to put Cam Newton in that group, I still feel I'd be justified in doing it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Because Cam has less skill position talent around him than any of those guys on that list. But they are expecting him to still be in that number. Well, Cam Newton should be up there with Wilson and Mahomes and Jackson and Breeze and Brady. No. Yes, he could be, but there is a difference between could and should be. He could be in that group, but he should not be in that group based on the fact that the Patriots have a Brady remnant roster built around him. They didn't go find him talent. They didn't go, hey, we should probably get him a number one target. We should probably go get him a wide receiver that he can rely on consistently when things go bad. We should probably go find a running back that holds linebackers and cornerbacks in position to be ready for a run, a play action, or a screen. But no, we'll give them Damian Harris. We'll give them Julian Edelman. We'll give them N'Keal Harry. That's what we'll give them. But people want to bust on Cam. People want to bust on Cam. It's not. This is not on Cam, y'all. He's got a C squad built around him. You put any other quarterback outside of those guys that I just mentioned or Cam Newton on that roster, this team is 0-for on the season so far. Believe that. This team doesn't win a game, even with the hoodie. They don't win a game with other quarterbacks in that spot unless they're in that top alpha tier.
Yeah, but I think what you're missing out on here, Rob, as you make this mile-long list of excuses for Cam Newton, is that if you put Cam Newton on a good team, he's still Cam Newton. He's still going to mess up. He's still going to miss receivers. He's still going to not fight for the ball. That's what you're missing out on. You're giving him all these excuses for why he can't win. Well, he can't win no matter what team he goes on. That's what Carolina Panthers fans have seen, have been frustrated by for years. From an inside perspective, Panthers fans know all about this guy. That he's not this hyped up Superman, except for those one or two seasons when he was really good. And I give him all the credit in the world for those couple of seasons because he was a madman for a couple of seasons. But outside of that, even when he's had people around him, can't do anything with it.
That is a mindset of my team does no wrong. My team does everything right. I'm telling you as an NFC South outsider, a guy who's kept very close tabs on your team because your team's in my team's division, I am telling your team screwed up the Cam Newton era. They screwed it up. They mishandled injuries. They mismanaged personnel. They ran bad. I'm telling, and that's not from somebody who has a rooting interest in Carolina failing, right? Talking to that as somebody who's paid a lot of attention to your team while not being blinded by being a fan. That's the case. Second thing, I hear that, oh, you're making excuses. All right, Diesel, if I handed you a drinking straw and then I put you in a batter's box and I threw baseballs to you and you never hit a baseball because you were holding a drinking straw, and then I said on air, Diesel couldn't hit me, and you went, well, I was trying to hit a baseball with a straw, and I said, that just sounds like an excuse to me. No, it's not. It's a reason. Sometimes people misconflate reasons and excuses. Sometimes people have excuses. Sometimes there are excuses. But sometimes those excuses aren't excuses. They're reasons. Not having better than a second or third wide receiver as your number one overall is not an excuse for a quarterback failure. It's a reason. If you don't have the tools to do your job, not having the tools to do your job is not an excuse. It is a reason for you to fail at your job. I believe that I have just laid out a list of reasons that Cam Newton is struggling, not excuses. There's a difference.
Let me ask you a question. Does each and every player on that New England Patriots roster get paid for doing what they do?
Sure.
They are all professional athletes. Mm-hmm. So don't act like they're a JV squad. Don't act like he's going out there with a bunch of guys who haven't laced up in the last 10 years and have put on a pot belly. Okay? Don't act like he's going out there with nothing. Is he going out there with the elite best of the best? Probably not. But he's still going out there with a roster full of highly paid pro athletes.
Doesn't make him good. Listen, I've worked with a lot of radio guys, Diesel, you have too, that sucked at their job, right? A lot of guys who have sucked at their job. If you went up to your boss and said, hey, man, I got this host that misses marks, never is on time, doesn't do his live reads, misses his spots, doesn't hit his benchmarks, doesn't take calls, your boss would be like, okay, what else do you want to complain about Rob about, right? But, jokes aside, if you had that host and then your boss called you in the office and said, Diesel, you're a crap producer, man. You guys are missing your marks. You're not getting calls on the air. The live reads aren't getting done, right? Would you look at him and go, okay, that's on me. That's my bad. Or would you look at him and go, hey, man, you gave me crap to work with. I'm doing the best I can, but if that guy's not doing his job, I can't do mine. That's exactly where Cam is right now. That's the spot he's in. Yeah, they're paid professionals. That's great. Being a paid professional doesn't mean you're good at your job. There's plenty of athletes who suck and still are paid professionals. That's the argument I'm making. All right, 844-GSP-ESPN, 477-3776. Quick break. If you want to sneak in here, you can, but we got Twitter trending topics coming up next on the Rob Brown Show. It's ESPN Upstate.
Here's what's happening on the internet. Let's see what Rob Brown knows about it. Topic number one is NASA.
NASA. Don't know why NASA is trending today, but listen, I am going to say this. Support NASA and support space exploration. Obviously, we have a lot going on in our country right now, but some of the biggest discoveries in American history have come through NASA. And I'm not just talking about stuff that they discover in space, but I'm talking about they figure out how it is to how to create things that make life easier on Earth. Velcro was discovered because of space travel. In the 1990s, a team at the JPL Jet Propulsion Laboratory created these tiny cameras. Guess what that led to? Camera phones. If you wear glasses and you have scratch-resistant lenses, you can thank NASA for having to come up to ways to have glass that could take the impact of micrometeors in outer space, not scratch and break. CAT scans, LEDs, athletic shoes, Nike Air trainers were developed for NASA. The more we cater to the discovery attitude that is propagated by space travel, the more cool stuff we get out of it every single year. Support NASA, man. And also those t-shirts are sick.
All right, the reason NASA is trending is because they have confirmed that there is evidence of hidden water on the sunlit surface of the moon.
Really? That's very interesting. I've always been fascinated by the concept of how Earth got enough water. And one of the leading theories has been that water, which is an abundant element in space, water is everywhere in outer space. would have been carried here in huge doses and in small amounts that added up over time from meteors and asteroids hitting hitting planet Earth, bringing that water with them, and then Earth's environment eventually becoming capable of hanging on to liquid gas and solid forms of water. And then the longer that this went on for millions and millions and millions of years, that water would have added up over time. So the fact that we can discover water in a place like the moon shows that other larger planetary bodies are capable of holding on to liquid water or water in some form, which kind of lends more credence to that theory. And also, Diesel, hello, ladies. I know that that was a hell of an explanation.
All right, next up, we got time for probably one more. Sticking with that theme, Moon Knight is trending.
Moon Knight is kind of in that theme. Moon Knight is actually a superhero, a DC comic book hero, and is coming to, a Marvel comic book hero, and is coming to Disney Plus. And apparently Oscar Isaac, who has been playing in the Star Wars trilogy, the last one, has been casted as Moon Knight for the Moon Knight series. Moon Knight is kind of like the Batman of Marvel. Like, he's just kind of that gruff superhero. I'm all in. That's it. We hand the ball over to Mark Ryan and Lonzo for Offside. Stay tuned for 4 hours of greatness coming up next. I'm Rob Brown. Appreciate Diesel's hard work. As always, don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Have a great rest of your Monday, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. Later.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.